Hello and welcome to Wednesday Word of Mouth. My name is Robin Nieto and I'm here with Daniel Libby. I've taken I've been away, but I've been sending in clips. And it is Wednesday, January 27, isn't it?
Yeah, 27.
2010. Daniel, what in the world is going on tonight? We got a by-election going on in Toronto Centre. We have Obama's State of the Union down south.
Yeah, State of the Union down south. And, of course, big things were happening up north here on the weekend. There was the anti-prorogation rallies were taking place all around the nation. And we got some audio clips recorded at the Toronto event that we're going to play a bit later on.
All right. And I just wanted to, before we continue with the show, Daniel, I wanted to make sure that our listeners, any listeners out there, to call in to talk to us, especially if you live in Toronto Centre, to talk to us about what concerns you the most. Because, I mean, we can talk here about what the newspapers are saying concerns you the most, or what television's saying what concerns you the most, but we'd really like it if you could call in. And Daniel's going to give you the number.
Yeah, the number is 416-979-5251 and then extension 0. And that'll get you to the phone, the CKLN office line phone, and that'll get to us here in the studio. 416-979-5251, extension 0.
Okay, so just to, because I know it's not always easy to call in to give your opinion, but your opinion, especially if you live in Toronto Centre because of the by-election, is very welcome throughout the show. So just feel free to call throughout the show. But I just wanted to update our listeners about what's going on tonight. It is Barack Obama, President of the Free World's State of the Union Address at 9 o'clock p.m. and 6 o'clock Pacific. And it will be, if you're not going to watch it on television, it's also being streamed online at on the White House's official website. Okay, so in the news today, Flaherty is calling on Venezuela to forgive Haiti's debt. You know, when I read that, I thought, now that's, you know, that's something. That's something, because Flaherty says that his government has already forgiven Haiti's debt. And he's also provided $100 million in grants. Good news, right? Problem is that Venezuela had already forgiven Haiti's debt a week ago, and forgiven it to the tune of way more than what the forgiveness of Canada's forgiveness of Haiti's debt. I think it was something like in around $250 million that Venezuela has forgiven. They've also provided Haiti with free oil, and hundreds of tons of food and supplies that people need in this situation in Haiti. So I found it was, you know, almost trying to steal the headline.
Oh yeah, I definitely think that our federal politicians here are looking out for some more positive headlines, because you know they got a lot of, I guess maybe more negative or more critical headlines.
Listen
of what happened.
Listen to the nation, stop the prorogation. Listen to the nation.
All right, so the prorogue. That's okay. Let's go down the list about what's going on in the world today. So, we don't have a federal government. At least they're not sitting. Tell us about that, Daniel.
We got the prorogue situation. You heard that chant there. We'll have more info on that. The prorogue, I guess, basically just means a suspension of parliament, a closed parliament. So, what parliament was supposed to have started on Monday, and now it's in a prorogue situation. So, we'll have more on that rally later on in the show.
All right, and then that back here in Toronto Centre. Talking about issues, and we're going to talk about issues until we get phone calls from what concerns people in Toronto Centre, because we can only go with what we read in the paper. But folks who live here in Toronto Centre, and I guess the boundaries, would be clear boundaries, would be Yonge Street, the lake, Bloor Street, and include and north of Bloor includes Rosedale, St. Jamestown, Cabbage Town. You know, there's quite a few people who live in this riding, and hopefully out of that number, a few are listening to the show. And if you could call in at 416 416-979-5251 and extension 0 to give us, to tell us about what's happening in your neighborhood. And, you know, you could be a student, you could be, you know, a mom, a dad, you could be a tenant, a homeowner, a patient in the hospital. Whoever is listening, if you're in your car and you live in this riding, give us a call now and tell us about what concerns you, because now it's the time to talk about this. And I know that politics is not ever on the top of the minds of most folk, but in downtown Toronto Centre, we got a by-election going on. If you're a Ryerson student and you happen to be listening, call us and tell us about what's going on in your mind here in the city. So what else is happening? Right here in Toronto Centre, the Toronto Grace Health Centre faces an uncertain future as the Salvation Army no longer wants to own and operate the 119-bed hospital. That's just up the street at Church and Bloor. Meanwhile, the provincial government announced that the provincial spending for hospitals will be reduced this year, with potential consequences being bed closures, cancelled surgeries, and layoffs. Okay, so I'm just going to wait a little bit because I don't want to... The problem with talking about too many issues is that you might be turned off about this, but what's important is what's going on in your neighborhood, what's going on in your own life here in Toronto Center. So again, the phone number is 416-979-5251, extension 0. If you've had candidates knocking on your door, you know, what have they said to you? How have you responded? You know, those things are things that interest us here at Wednesday Word of Mouth. Continuing, Toronto now has an unchanged unemployment rate of 9.5%. And we're talking tough times for Torontonians. But at the same time, in the media, we're being told that, you know, we're undergoing economic recovery. The markets are bouncing back. Sometimes they're flat. Most times, they're bullish markets these days. Meanwhile, we have a 9.5%. This is the official unemployment rate here in Toronto. Tough times. So one of the candidates in this Toronto Centre by-election really knows tough times. Kathy Crowe. She's lived and worked in Toronto Centre for the last 25 years and has served people in the riding who often live in desperate situations. She's fought for affordable housing, public health, and social justice. She's also the recipient of an International Nursing Ethics Award and the Atkinson Charitable Foundation's Economic Justice Award. She has a bachelor's degree in nursing and a master's degree in adult education. And she has received 3 honorary degrees from McMaster University, the University of Ottawa, and the University of Victoria. She's also the co-founder of the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee. So if anyone knows about tough times and doing something about it, it would be Kathy Crowe. She is, well, without further ado, this is Kathy Crowe at her, we got a phone call. Okay, go ahead, please, caller. The question is, what's happening here in Toronto Centre for you? What concerns you the most living here in Toronto Centre?
You know, I agree with the billboard tax. I think it's a long time coming in Toronto, and I think it's embarrassing to see how much visual advertising there is that goes on, and, you know, it doesn't come back to the people who live in those houses or those buildings ever, you know. It doesn't subsidize their rent. And, in fact, in one of the biggest Brazilian cities, they eliminated all visual advertising from their from their streets because the people voted on it, and they didn't want to have any more advertising space given up like that. They wanted a beautiful city instead. So I think it's a good start, and that's about it.
All right, so the issue is urban landscapes and what can be done to hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, did you have any ideas yourself about what we can do for the urban landscape in Toronto, which hasn't changed all that much in the last 40 years other than the condos?
The urban landscapes? Actually, I guess by eliminating road traffic in certain key spots like they have done in certain European cities, I think specifically in Germany, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of potential just for walking pedestrians, and it's actually proven that there's been better commerce and better business, like people frequenting more of those businesses. So yeah, I think urban landscapes could be drastically changed just by eliminating cars on certain key streets, like probably Queen Street or I don't know, some of the more busy sort of bottleneck intersections.
What do you think about widening sidewalks?
I don't think it would help. I think you'd have to completely close the street, at least between two points. What do you think about it?
I think that, I mean, I'll just put in my opinion quickly, but I think we have extremely narrow streets right around Toronto, and I think that's mostly because of the car infrastructure, which was built, you know, the city was built, you know, hugely influenced in the 1950s when the auto industry became strong.
Sure.
And so our sidewalks became very narrow to make more room for cars, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's, if you look at other cities around the world, like New York and other cities that have boulevards, you know, it's not an uncommon thing to have, you know, wide sidewalks. It makes for a much more livable city and people will walk more. So I think it's, you know, it's not a bad idea, but, you know, I just want to hear your ideas and folks who are out there and what they have to say.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Well, I guess that's it. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Bye.
And Word of Mouth Wednesday, we're back here, 7 to 8 p.m. Anybody who wants to give us a call can give us a call, 416-979-5251, extension 0. If you have any words on the Toronto Centre, the local issues taking place here, the by-election that's going to take place next week, and I think we're just about getting ready to play that Kathy Crowe clip.
Yeah, I just wanted, just before we head into the Kathy Crowe clip, because we talked about, you know, the situation here in Toronto, someone called and talked to us about their major issue, which is, you know, problems in the urban landscape, too much traffic, which is, you know, things have to change in Toronto since, you know, a lot of infrastructure was built in the 1950s. The monies that were set aside for infrastructure were just, you know, if you've noticed throughout the summer, we had enormous amounts of construction on a lot of the streets of Toronto, but that was simply to maintain things that haven't been maintained for the last, you know, 20 years. To add new things, that's something that hasn't been done yet. So that's a good point. Appreciate your call. And if anyone else has other concerns, if it comes to, you know, the education of your children, you know, there's here in Toronto Centre, I think more than 70% of people live in apartment buildings. So we would really like to hear from tenants and what's going on in your buildings and what, you know, you have to say about living in downtown Toronto and Toronto Centre. So again, the number is 416-979-5251, extension 0. And if we're getting another call, we will, yeah, which looks like we are. So we'll get the caller on the air. We'll do the best we can. Have a bit of technical limitations here, but welcome. So we'll just get that person on the line, or on the air.
Right, hello, caller, are you there?
See, Crowe wins, because I know her, and she does a really good job, as far as I'm concerned, in addressing affordable housing, which we need more of. I think that's what, I don't live in what they call Toronto Centre, but as far as I'm concerned, we need more affordable housing. We need to also, like the other caller said, is in European countries, it's a lot better for cyclists. And I'm a cyclist myself, so, and a walker. And I don't own a car, and I take the TTC. And I think instead of, you know, giving more, accommodating the driver more, the cars, we need to start accommodating more of the cyclist. Because you know when I listen to CBC, I listen to it and they talk about you know, all this gridlock and that's because people are driving more and we need to drive less. It's becoming very hazardous. But I think that's what definitely needs to be addressed. And sort of like what Jane Jacobs says, we need to work more towards. You know, making the city livable and making the city a lot more friendlier, like try to build more community. That's what we need. That's what's lacking. I mean, you know, even when you walk down the street now, hardly anybody makes eye contact with you, maybe because it's the winter. But, you know, maybe things change a little bit in the summertime. But I think that's what needs to really happen. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call.
All right.
Yeah, great. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate that call. And again, for folks who are living here in Toronto Centre, you know, this is one of the most densely populated ridings in all of Canada. It is a land of probably the most extreme disparity in Canada. You have Rosedale on the one hand, or on one side of the city across Bloor, and then you have St. Jamestown on the other. I mean, that is a disparity that's hard to find in any other part of the city, let alone the country. So if you have, and you live here, you have concerns, you want to talk about what's going on in your riding, you want to talk about the things that concern you, give us a call, 416-979-5251, extension 0, especially young folk. You know, if you're a student, you know, you have your concerns, you know, tell us about what's going on in your school, with your curriculum, what's going on with your teachers, your fellow students, the schoolyard, the programs. You know, all those things are very important for us to know, because without you telling us, it's really difficult for us to know. So I think we're going to continue now with a clip from Kathy Crow at her nomination meeting. And Kathy Crow is going to tell us about why she's running for political office with the New Democratic Party.
I remember the very first moment I decided to enter this campaign. I was walking up Sherbourne Street, but it wasn't the kind of romantic, snowy day that some people use to make a big decision about leaving politics. It was a cold, rainy, gray day, and it was in the midst of the H1N1 outbreak, and I was on my way to get my shot. And by the way, I got my other shot Friday. This is my messaging to you around vaccine. Now I could have been walking up Parliament Street, I could have been walking up Church Street, I could have been walking at Jarvis or Yonge Street, because every block I saw the telltale reminders of how destructive the Conservative Mykerist years were here in Ontario. I saw affordable housing in disrepair. I saw empty lots where there could be housing. I saw churches and community centers that were scrambling for donations to meet people's needs, lineups for food, and hospital closures, and I could go on and on. Then there were the faces I saw, the people, folks that sometimes have to beg for the Sherbourne bus driver to let them on for free. Penny sees that all the time. Women with children in tow with strollers, and not really fancy strollers, you know, just regular old-fashioned strollers, pushing them to get up to the No Frills because that's the only place they can afford to buy food. And then you see seniors. You see a lot of seniors and people with disabilities struggling to get to medical appointments because there's no services coming to them. And that's what convinced me to run. And I got mad as hell. I thought, we've had 6 years of McGuinty Liberal government. 6 years characterized by lack of courage, lack of imagination, lack of determination, lack of empathy, lack of political will. Inaction to effectively deal with the housing crisis or poverty, or what I call starving welfare rates. Non-action on the real health needs of the community, needs for more home care, but lots of action on e-health. Non-action on climate change, but lots of time for the nuclear industry. Non-action on creating more supports for seniors, for people with disabilities, more childcare spaces, but lots of action on figuring out how to tax people and get more money from them. What help did our community agencies, including this one that we're in today, that does so much, what help did they get from the government when the recession hit and when it meant that they saw 20 to 30% more people needing their services? Services like food, employment help, legal help, eviction prevention. What have they really done to help the people that I meet in this riding? It was actually with El Fruit canvassing that on, it was a Thanksgiving Sunday or Monday. We met people in the lineup at Good Shepherd, people lining up in the laneway, waiting to get in for their meal. And he very quietly, very humbly turned to us and said, "We are so very, very hungry." Then there are the people that are shocked, just shocked that it's happened to them, lost their job, having to move, having to downsize, borrow from friends, sell their car, maybe get EI, but what if they can't get EI? What's the government done for them? And that's what poverty is. It routinely equates to evictions, hunger, and deprivation, and ill health, and it's all throughout this riding. And so what's the Liberal response been? Small 2% increases in social assistance rates. Reductions, cuts to the provincial housing budget. Cuts to the healthcare system, including, for example, eye exams. And then a new tax to hit people when they're already down. What's been the Liberal response? An inquiry into the Al Gosling death? The elderly St. Jamestown resident who was evicted and then died homeless, like many seniors in this riding. The Liberal response, talk of poverty reduction and consultations as if poverty was a new concept. Would we talk about reduction in racism? Would we talk about reduction in child abuse? No. We would talk about zero tolerance and bring in policies to say never again. So I call their response intentional neglect. Now, some people come up to me and they say, well, they just don't really know. The Liberals don't, they don't get it, or they actually just don't know. And that is not true. Intentional neglect, in my mind, is equivalent to purposeful harm. Their non-attention to our infrastructure, the bricks and the mortar, have had a catastrophic effect on shelters, on social housing, on hospitals, and now, of course, we're reminded about the Don Jail. Whether it's water damage in apartments, bedbug-infested buildings, MRSA outbreaks in hospitals. Some shelters are now reported as not meeting the United Nations standards for refugee camps. The Don Jail is now being reported as not meeting the United Nations standards for correctional facilities. That is shameful. Naomi Klein sums this all up in her book, if you haven't read it yet. I'm sure most of you have. Shock Doctrine. Privatization, government deregulation, and deep cuts to social programs. Her analysis applies not just to New Orleans, but to right here in Toronto Centre. So February 4th, we need to move from shock to action. And I want to take a little bit of literary license by quoting my friend Dry over here, who became one of the huge tent city heroes. Dry came to Quebec City with us for a protest outside the Chateau Laurier. Dry gave perhaps the shortest speech in the history of housing rallies, but in my opinion, it was the best. And he said, "We are all we. We need to convince the other we that we need help. We need housing. We need housing." So I think that speech can be, it's in my book, by the way, but the reason I say it today is that speech could be, "We are all we need to convince the other we that we need help. We need social programs. We don't need corporate tax cuts. We don't need cuts to education or cuts to healthcare." But the heart of this message, the heart of this message is that we have to stand up and send a message to the McGuinty Liberals. The heart of this message is that we need to convince people that they count and that they need to vote, and that by voting NDP, in this case for me, their action will send a province-wide message to Dalton McGuinty that he is out of control and out of touch. So please make the decision today. Work with me. Bring our voice to Queen's Park, our voice, and let Dalton McGuinty know that we are all mad as hell and we do not have to take it anymore. Thank you.
All right, that was Kathy Crowe. She is running here in your riding, people, Toronto Centre. This is your riding. CKLN is located in Toronto Centre at Ryerson University, which is in Toronto Centre riding, by election happening. And Kathy Crowe, candidate for the New Democratic Party, talking about some of the realities here in Toronto Centre. And again, we want to hear about your reality here in Toronto Centre. And, you know, we'll give you the number again. It's 416-979-5251, extension 0. We really want to hear from you because we've heard from Kathy about what she's seen and the people that she's met and the things she's heard out there in her 25 years here in Toronto Centre. But we want to hear from you as well. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it with Daniel for our next segment.
Yeah, thanks, Robin. I thought it would be a good time to just maybe just play a quick music track before we get into the rally against prorogation segment that we got edited that took place Saturday. I'll just play a quick track here off the Brainstorming CD by Plex. This is a track called The Way It Should Be. Word of Mouth Wednesday. Word up. Word out.
In the government that steady lie to your face. I ain't talking about axis of evil or taxes. There's bigger people than the president that practiced the art of enslaving. When the towers hit the pavement, they started pointing fingers at some Afghani caveman. And we accept it cause we're so naive. They tell us what to buy, what to do, and what to believe. Working on diseases and spread it with bees. Sure we're running out of oil, let's go get it overseas. They keep a crease in the cost of fuel. I don't even drive, so why does this affect me and you? They still using the same tools, drilling like fools, with even better ways to transport the goods to you.
I have about as much as I can take. Don't try and push your religion on me. There's madness in everybody's face. We all know that's not the way it should be.
Is this a song about war, politics, or religion? The three are so connected that I can't tell the difference. Now that it's said, I know I'll have to take heat. They'll regret they ever signed the bill for freedom of speech. Cause it's people like me that be connecting the dots. The internet connection and we're all being watched. Facebook is cataloging everything that you do, so they can target any threat to their control over you. It's like the Matrix. You can love it or hate this. Jack like 95% of your playlist. I made this in hopes of maybe shedding some light. Tomorrow's never guaranteed, so let's just make it through the night. I know right from wrong, so I write the songs in hopes that maybe people will cope and get along. And though it seems a long ways away, it just ain't. I can't do it all alone, I got too much on my plate.
I've had about as much as I can take. Don't try and push your religion on me.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here, and, you know, we're not sure the way it should be, but I know a lot of Canadians are thinking that the way things are going on these days are not the way it should be going. As we are into a federal government prorogued parliament situation, Canadians took to the streets on Saturday nationwide. But one of the biggest crowds, I guess, in the nation was in the biggest city in the nation here in Toronto, downtown Toronto. I was down at Yonge Dundas Square, just a few blocks from CKLN Studios. Yonge Dundas Square had the rally and the march around the downtown Yonge Street areas. And, well, I got to speak with a lot of people, so it was a great event in that sense. And, well, here is the segment I put together featuring the activists and community and the local people of Toronto and what their words are on the federal prorogued situation.
Pro-democracy! Today's the day for democracy that can even with Stephen. We just don't want part of it back. We want part of it back at work, building democracy. Today's the day to get even with Stephen. Stephen, your days are numbered. Today is the day we're getting even with Stephen. Everybody's wise to him. Everybody around here, young and old. I mean, I've never seen such a multi-generational group.
And, like, I wonder if each person that's of age voted. I'd be curious to know. How many people do you think we have out here today? I would say we have over 1,000.
Yeah, I would say 1,000.
Oh, yeah, maybe even 2,000.
Put a real Canadian in the government! Put a real one in there!
Listen to the nation! Stop prohibition!
Toronto Youth Cabinet is an advocacy organization based out of City Hall. Our job is to represent for all the Toronto youth under 25 in this city. Okay, there's a lot of youth out here. It is the U of T students that started this rally and got everything on its feet, so it's fitting that Toronto Youth Cabinet is out here. Okay, there's lots of student support out here.
Listen to the nation!
Stop the prorogation!
Listen to the nation!
Stop the prorogation!
Look for us on www.thetyc.ca. thetyc.ca.
Democracy!
When can we run?
Now!
When can we run?
Democracy!
When can we run?
Now!
We're down here today protesting because our parliament is out. I would like the women of Canada to strike on having children until everybody has clean water and food and shelter in the whole world. If we stop having children for even a year or two, the multinational corporations that are running Canada will fall apart. We have the power, and it's within us to make a change. And a peaceful change is the only change that will work. Thank you.
Communist Party newspapers?
Yes. Thank you.
This is the People's Voice. It's the Communist Party of Canada newspaper. And we're giving it away to all of the democratic people here today.
Trouble in communist Canada. Corporate been taking the mouth shut, slap a strangler. Trouble in commie Canada.
Well, this is a very big demonstration to protest the proroguing of parliament by the anti-democratic Harper government. And the democratic forces are out in strength, including the Communist Party of Canada.
How would you describe the situation, what's going on here in Canada?
Well, Tsar Nicholas II prorogued the Duma just before the First World War started. And Tsar Stephen Harper, the first and hopefully the last, proroguing Parliament just as we're about to investigate the torturing of prisoners in Afghanistan and the shameful Canadian government presentation in Copenhagen. So the connection between Tsar Stephen Harper and Tsar Nicholas II are pretty close.
That's the kind of government we have right now. Not that I'm happy or that I voted for them or that, you know, I'm ignoring the issue. I'm here and I hope to do more, but...
I saw a funny sticker. It was like complicit for the conservative sea.
Yeah.
That's how they're getting so much of their support. Just people like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Pisses me off.
I think it's really important that we not listen to Harper when he says Canadians don't care. We do care. We care that diplomat Richard Colvin was raked through the coals for doing his job. So I would like to see Stephen Harper go back and do his. Thank you.
What do we want?
Democracy.
What do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Democracy.
What do we want it?
Now.
It's rare that you see a big crowd of people out this and not just sort of usual flaky lefty kinds of people, but real people who are fed up with what's happening. You know, the guy is just your typical New World Order type of... You shouldn't even be allowed to run for office. You need laws in the country to keep people from running for office who have motives that are against democracy. It shouldn't be too much rocket science.
We're on the street. We're speaking with Tim Rourke, and the last time I spoke with you was on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We were talking about the citizen's income. Is there anything new with the citizen's income?
Nothing really new. I'm working on a book about it. It just basically tells people everything they need to know about the thing, all the different arguments about it, all the different forms of it, modalities, and nothing's happened in Toronto very much, but things are happening nationally. We've had a Canadian branch of BN World Network, and they've had a founding meeting in Calgary. They had a meeting in Ottawa that I went to, and they're talking about the senators, a couple of politicians, Senator Siegel and Tony Martin, the MP, are interested in the thing and promoting it. And hi there. Okay, there's a greenie. But anyway, things are slowly rolling ahead. Right now, a lot of attention is distracted because...
It's not just get back to Parliament, it's get back to work.
The obvious solution is to get some kind of proportional representation, you know? So we don't have these kinds of elective dictatorships and we get the wrong person in. You know, if he gets a majority, it would be the ultimate disaster for Canada. It would be the end of Canada, basically. The guy's an extreme right-wing fanatic. He's going to take us down the way that Rapid Roger character did in New Zealand. They've never been able to recover from that. The people have got to start to get themselves mobilized. They've got to demand straightening out of political institutions in the country, first of all, and then start demanding economic reforms, including a guaranteed income. I mean, there's so much nonsense talked about it, but it's really very simple. Just get the government back issuing the money instead of the banks. Doesn't need to be more complicated than that.
We're getting a lot of knowledge here on the streets.
I'm really impressed with how many people came out, especially considering it was a Facebook thing and obviously underestimating the power of social networking.
You know, this is a new kind of a resistance, a new kind of a rally. This is a Facebook rally. It all started with one student in Calgary starting on the Facebook, and it built for Facebook. Then here in Toronto, people took over. The public took over. It wasn't even we asked that the political parties not be involved, particularly the speeches. It's a people's movement. It's a Facebook movement. It's a movement to get even with Stephen, get democracy back.
Get back to work. Get back to work. Get back to work.
We're not going away after today, Stephen Harper. We're coming back until we win back the democracy we want in Canada.
BK here at the No Prorog protest for Support Local Scene. You can see a lot of slogans being chanted. I've been here for about an hour, 45 minutes myself. And it's all basically the same thing. Harper works for us. The people united will never be defeated. And somebody very interesting, you know, came up and I was filming some stuff. And they said, next someone's going to talk about money. And I was like, wow, maybe they got some monetary reform person. But no, they were talking about putting money in the buckets of people who walk around for paying for all this stuff.
Thanks for your help.
Someone with an orange reflective vest and a basket with a poster for the rally on it.
Rally donation.
We're going to ask you to be generous and to help us to pay for all the costs that we incurred to be here today.
Rally donations right here, guys. Thanks for your help. Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Well, I think our Canadian athletes are doing one heck of a job trying to train for our training for the upcoming Olympics, and I think that they deserve a good salary. And since Stephen Harper's not working, we should give them his.
Listen to the nation, stop the prorogation. Listen to the nation, stop the prorogation. Listen to the nation, stop the prorogation. Listen to the nation. Stop the prorogation!
Unfortunately, this is kind of like a release valve. I think this has been done since the 1960s by the CIA. You basically take thousands of people who already believe in what's going on. You take all their frustration, all their anger, you get them together in one place like a sports event and just let them vent like maniacs. And then when they go home, they'll do nothing. So if these people were to reach out to their fellow neighbors with a better understanding of these issues, then we might get something done on this. But if a bunch of people, 2,000 or so in this city who believe the same thing, get together and yell, yeah, and go home, then they're not going to get much out of it. So keep an eye on this. It's a great scene. It's great to know Canadians care. Let's see how much they care by seeing how much they're willing to figure out about the new world order with respect to all this. Peace out.
Well, I thought that I'd try and bring a little libertarian flavor to the protest today. When Stephen Harper studied at the University of Chicago with Tom Flanagan, he read Friedrich Hayek, the works of Friedrich Hayek, for a long time. And that's about 180 degrees, about as far away as you can get from what he's doing right now. Friedrich Hayek was for small government. He was certainly not for looting, for giving taxpayers' money to banks. That was right out. And one of the main things that he pointed out was the kind of government Stephen Harper's given to us has in the past led to tyranny. I don't think that we have an opposition in this country. You know, Harper claims to be a conservative, but he's just a different flavor of socialist.
Nothing would surprise me about Stephen Harper. He's got a hidden agenda that he's going to try and put through, but we're wise to him now.
Didn't surprise me. He's got a track record of this, so...
No.
It's not a surprise, it's just a shame.
That's a surprise at all. I think that is his numbers went down in the polls, which I think is great. So he won't get a majority, and maybe his ass will get kicked out anyway.
Nonpartisan. I don't like Iggy either.
I'm glad to see people here are finally waking up and preserving Parliament, eh? I mean, hey, look, if we don't preserve it, no one else is going to, right? I mean, Parliament is our voice, right? I mean, if it's our Parliament, not his Parliament, we got to protect it. That's it.
I'm glad to see so many people out, and I hope that people also come out for the G8 protest that's coming in June. You can find out more information on G8210Canada@gmail.com. And that'll be in Toronto. So if you want to make sure that it's peaceful and nonviolent, come out and organize with us.
Who's Canada?
Our Canada!
Who's Canada?
Our Canada!
Who's Canada?
Our Canada!
You know what? I'll tell you something about the G20. We're talking about democracy versus the G20. If you're talking about the G20, I want to hear about the Tobin tax. That's what I want to hear about, because it relates exactly to what Parliament voted on. I'll tell you something. In 1999, Parliament in Canada actually voted to accept the Tobin tax in 1999, but just 2 months ago, November 9th, 2009, Flaherty says there's no interest in the Tobin tax. Yeah, well, 10 years ago, Parliament was interested in the Tobin tax. So I'm looking forward to the G20. We got to tell Flaherty there is an interest in the Tobin tax. Our interest, not his interest. That's what I think about the G20. Check out the Tobin tax. You want to know about the Tobin tax? Look up Tobin tax on Wikipedia. You'll learn about that stuff, man.
Our Parliament!
Harper's dangerous for Canada and outright evil, in fact, and I hope that Canadians would unite, finally, and that the Liberals would find the courage to form a coalition and get rid of the guy.
Stop the prorogation!
Listen to the nation! Stop the prorogation!
Yeah, I think there could be a coalition if Ignatieff would put aside short-term partisan gain and do something for the good
Canadians
of the country.
And the good of the country.
We got to get energy going. That's what we got to do. We got to preserve. If we don't preserve democracy, it's going to disappear. We're going to sleepwalk our way into oblivion if we don't preserve this democracy we got.
Hopefully this will be like a catalyst to bring people together so that we realize that all fronts are united, environment, social, economic. These are all forms of justice that are being mistreated by our current minority government. And I know that there are people in the government that wish that it wasn't so. So we have to bring those people to power.
And you think Harper's going to get the message?
I think Harper gets his walking papers from Bilderberg. He gets his orders, his marching orders, rather, from Bilderberg. And if we want to give him his walking papers, then we got to do more than worry about what Harper's going to feel about this.
Who's Parliament?
Our Parliament!
Okay, we're gonna sing "O Canada."
Let's do it together, guys.
O Canada, our home and native land, true patriot law in all my sons command. With
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We are back on the air. That was just a segment recorded on Saturday. It took place on Saturday near here. It was the anti-prorogation rally against the prorogue of federal parliament, and it took place at Yonge Dundas Square, and then there was the march throughout downtown Toronto, and a lot of people out. It was good to see a big crowd assembled, and also good to talk with some people that were willing to talk with me. So you heard those voices, voices of various activists in the and local people that were out getting their voice out against the prorogue situation. And It was good. And more info you can get at noparogue.ca. That was the organizers of the event. Things going on all over Canada, but yeah, that was good. Good to get that played. I had been editing that audio, and now I'm going to be working on a video segment because I had my video camera there too. Hopefully get something up on YouTube eventually. But I noticed that there's a lot of stuff all over YouTube now with since the Pirogue, all kinds of rally clips you can see. And we got Robin still in the studio too.
Oh yeah. So I was just hearing that in the Pirogue. Yeah.
What are you thinking? Federal mess or?
The problem for me is that there's a lot of, I would say, what's his name? Bush Jr. bashing, Stephen Harper bashing. Mm-hmm. Problem with that is that it heads to the Liberals as some kind of alternative. But the problem is that they're both in the same, they're both doing the same thing, right? They're both representing the same interests. And that's the problem with prorogue type things, is that you want the parliament to go back to session. But the problem is that it's not just the fact that parliament is out of session. It's that, you know, we need to get a lot more involved with issues that affect us, with concerns that affect us, which is why I'm going to make another call again for folks who live here in Toronto Centre to give us a call at 416-979-5251, extension 0, to talk to us about concerns that affect you. Otherwise, we're just going to tell you what we've gotten from the media. So we'd like to hear what you actually go through each day in your neighborhoods, in your schools, at your jobs, on the TTC. And actually, I have a question for you, Daniel.
What?
TTC has been raised to $3 a ride. Okay.
Yeah.
That seems to be a lot of money to me. Mm-hmm. For one ride, $3.
Yeah. If you buy multiple tickets, then it goes down to $2.50, which is still expensive.
It's still expensive. And what gets me is I haven't heard anything like in terms of protest. If this was another country, for instance, if you raise the cost of transportation to that kind of level without, you know, increasing your income and, you know, the amount of money that you make, you know, folks would be, they would have all kinds of strikes, and it happens in Europe and happens around the world when transportation is affected. Here in Toronto, I have to say that I haven't heard
Yeah. The only thing I heard of was a street action that OCAP put on in December. I think it was in December. But other than that, yeah, and I didn't go to it. I didn't know.
So that's my question, is why, if you raise it that much, because, I mean, mm-hmm. Granted, I'm not sure if you think about the statistics, they say that there's about one quarter of Torontonians live in poverty, mm-hmm. right? So that's quite a few people. And I'm sure if you live in poverty, you can't afford that. And if you could afford it, I mean, if you're the middle class or upper middle class, I don't know. Like, so my question is, can we afford $3 a ride? Can we afford it to keep going up? So my question's for Daniel, my question's for listeners. 416-979-5251, extension 0. You know, we've got, but, you know, we've also tonight, I mean, these are local issues, stuff that I'm interested in, but internationally, just after the show, about an hour later, we're going to be hearing from the President of the United States and the so-called free world. And that's going to be happening at 9 p.m.,
State of the Union or Union of the Stated. We'll see if there's any big announcements. I'm not sure. I don't know. There is a lot of different opinions right now going on in Obama since it's been 1 year officially. So this is the week after 1 year. So we're right now under the 53rd week of Obama as president.
So what do you think? I admit I'm an Obama fan. I have to admit, you know, when he was inaugurated, it was huge. Right. I was watching that.
Yeah.
I was moved.
Yeah.
A year later, you know, we have to kind of look at the actual facts and the record. Mm-hmm. So we got, let's look at a little bit of Obama's record, just a bit. And if you want to join in on this and you want to give us, you know, maybe the other side of what we're saying, call us at 416-979-5251, extension 0. The latest. So we have 20,000 troops, U.S. troops in Haiti. That's the latest mm-hmm. news that I've heard. I don't know what 20,000 troops are doing in Haiti.
And I heard the most shocking, yeah, then I also heard that EU was sending police. EU police. So they're not even military, they're actually going to send police in, which I, you know.
That's the latest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then before that, a few months back, it was, I think, 30,000 fresh U.S. troops in Afghanistan.
Right.
So we're going to pull out of Afghanistan, but we're going to pull out of Iraq, but we're going to go to Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He did say that. He did mention that, though, during the election. I noticed that there was a lot of, you know, he was getting all this support from the left, from the so-called progressives and liberals, but he was always saying that he wouldn't rule out increasing Afghanistan, and he wouldn't rule out going into Pakistan. So he had always mentioned that.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then you also have 7 new military bases in Colombia.
Whoa.
Being set up around, you know, obviously, Venezuela.
Timed with the free trade stuff going on there. That's interesting.
Guantanamo Bay, is it closed yet?
No.
So, okay. The economic recovery of the United States. Folks, the unemployment rate is down, right?
Yeah. Well, they announced the deficit, I think, yesterday, or the projected deficit is over $1 trillion. I think it was 1 point something trillion. That's just the yearly deficit, I think, from last year. That's a lot of money.
But you heard something in the news from someone from Goldman Sachs, because I think Obama was being critical about the executives, the bank executives, and how he's going to make sure that he gets every penny back from the banks. And I think that Wall Street was testifying, I think last week or the week before, and someone from which you heard, tell us about that.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm not sure if it's the same incident, but I know this was a few weeks ago. I remember there was a Goldman Sachs executive, Lloyd Blankfein, the guy that's running Goldman Sachs currently, who could, you know, be a future guy in, you know, the Federal Reserve or Treasury. All these guys seem to have a way of getting into the government side from private business. Well, this guy was saying that he believes that they're doing God's work. I think that was his quote, which, you know.
He's from Goldman Sachs.
Exactly.
And he says he's...
Right. Well, yeah. And
he's doing God's work.
Well, now that brings a whole new spin on the too big to fail concept, I think.
This is some of the record of Obama's, but you may have out there listeners, you know, because we all watched his inauguration. It was a huge change, we thought. You know, if you have if you have a different record, you know, of, you know, his accomplishments, let us know, because I know he's done other things. 416-797-5251 extension 0. Because I heard he was doing some kind of deal for students as well. Like, he was going to have some kind of student loan restructuring. So to give the students in the States a break.
Whoa.
That's what I heard.
Whoa.
You know, he had some things. He had this, cash for, what's it called?
Cash for clunkers. Oh, that one didn't work, though. I don't. Cash for clunkers didn't quite work.
And what's the big one, though? The big one that we all thought was going to happen for sure, because he did... You know, he did campaign on this. He did campaign on healthcare reform.
Yeah,
so what happened with healthcare reform there, Daniel?
Well, healthcare reform, I think, is still up in the air. I know they did push something through right on Christmas Eve, right before they took their holiday break. But I think that is now, they're saying that's now falling apart with the loss of the Ted Kennedy seat.
There's another one. That's right. The Senate seat.
Exactly.
That election.
Yeah.
Okay, Daniel.
Which they say was a test.
I heard it was the first time that a Republican was elected to that seat.
Maybe, at least in 50 years, because that was John F. Kennedy's before Ted Kennedy's.
You know, it is, if you're in government and you have one seat to win, it's yours to win. It's hard to lose when you're in government, you know? But he lost it. So I got an email from the Obama, you know, because I'm on their email serve, you know, their listserv. And he said, you know, this is... People are not satisfied with the rate of change in the U.S. You know, this is coming from the Obama campaign itself.
Right.
So, but if you're out there and you're you had Obama mania, and you have a different perspective about what's going on, 416-979-5251 extension 0, and how this maybe would affect Canada as well, you know, you let us know.
We only got a few minutes left, so I think maybe if we can get a caller in for the last few seconds, I think this might be something that could trigger them calling in just because they might not want to hear it. We got a clip of Michael Ignatieff talking about the prorogue.
Phoned the Governor General on New Year's Eve. It was a cynical gamble, a cynical assumption that the country wasn't watching, the country didn't care. He gambled on the cynicism and disengagement of Canadians, and he gambled wrong. And the demonstrations this week across the country, I think caught many of the pundits, the political class, by surprise. There's real feeling out in the country that this was an abuse of democracy. And not just once, but twice. First, to avoid a vote of non-confidence. Second, to avoid a parliamentary demand for papers. This is a constitutional matter. And a attempt to evade serious, legitimate questions about Canada's human rights performance and compliance with the Geneva Conventions overseas. Canadians don't like that. We've heard this loud and clear from our people. We're showing up today. And we need clear rules to limit prorogation.
Last Thursday and previously you had said it was a legitimate prime ministerial power that you wouldn't abuse, but that nevertheless it deserved to remain. So what's changed your mind?
I think we're listening to Canadians. There's a wonderful saying, some philosopher once said, rules are for people with no character. Right? You don't need rules when people have a certain political character, when they have a respect deeply ingrained in their political character to respect our institutions. We're dealing with a prime minister who's shown that he doesn't have the political character to respect our institutions. So in our view, a change of the rules is needed. Exactly. The problem is not with the Governor General. The problem is with the Prime Minister of Canada. This Prime Minister of Canada.
Hear, hear.
I think we have a caller on the line, and we're just about the end of the show, but we're going to put, I don't know, Daniel's got him on the line or got her on the line, but yeah, so we'll just be with our caller in just a couple of seconds.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it was a brilliant move by the U.S. Empire to recruit Obama to run for president, put a nice new face, nice positive face on the empire, make it look like racism is a thing of the past. And carry on the same as before, same policies. And it should not be forgotten that he got a lot of money from Wall Street in his campaign when he was running for president. One of the tricks they used was having individuals working for Wall Street firms to be giving lots of money so it wouldn't register as these firms.
Thank you very much, caller. Really, thank you very much. We are coming to the end of our show. Thanks for calling. And this is Wednesday Word of Mouth, every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. here on CKLN 88.1. I'm signing off. I'm Rob Nieto and Daniel Libby.
Word out, word is bond, word of mouth.